This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good evening, Wildcat and Jayhawk fans, and welcome back to The Drive Season 16. We're sponsored by Briggs Auto Group. I am Tim Fitzgerald at GoPowerCat.com. The man across the studio is still Scott Chasen. I don't know why he hasn't left me yet, but this is an ongoing relationship. He is of fog.net.
Well, Fitz, hey, it's great to be back for another season. We have so much to get to today, especially excited to talk about Bruce Weber. Will he be back for another? Oh. You know what? I have my basketball notes. I need to change those to football.
Okay, yeah, we got to do football first. We got a whole season of it. Folks, you can interact with us on social media at facebook.com/thedriveshow, on Twitter at @thedrive13, and of course answer our weekly poll question and make your game predictions on our Twitter page. And remember, if you ever miss an episode of The Drive, you can listen to an audio-only version that will appear each Monday morning in the form of a podcast at both GoPowerCat.com and Fog.net. We start things off with our two-minute drill. The two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt, your work boot center.
Well, Fitz, K-State is picked 7th in the Big 12 going into Chris Klieman's third season. Is that an accurate ranking, or do you think the Wildcats could finish even higher?
You know, Scott, what I find really interesting about this is I feel like with Kansas State having a sixth-year senior quarterback coming back for his super senior season, if you want to call it that, Skylar Thompson, you would think most prognosticators would look at that as a huge advantage for K-State, but they kind of skip over that. They kind of skip over the fact that K-State went 4-6 without him last year playing a true freshman quarterback during a pandemic. I think there's a lot of upside to this team. Now, like the question was phrased, I'm not saying they won't finish seventh. I'm saying that there is a much bigger upside to this team that could make them very competitive. For a Big 12 title game, maybe not, but they have some really nice weapons coming out of the pandemic, or benefits of the pandemic almost. They had a lot of problems along the offensive line with health issues and injuries, and they were rebuilding that line last year. They have 8 guys back with starting experience. And that really is something that this program hasn't had under Chris Klieman, is the type of offensive line he really wants to run that offense. And defensively, I think they've got a few tricks up their sleeve. We're going to see when the Cats open with Stanford down in Arlington on the 4th. But I just think they've got a lot more depth at so many key position groups that this is going to be a pretty good team. If they can stay healthy at linebacker and maybe a few other spots, I think they could be really good. We'll see how it plays out over the course of the season. But I just see a lot of upside to this. Think about this. By season's end, they were really depleted between injuries and COVID-19. And on offense, their really only two reliable weapons they had left on the field were a true freshman quarterback and a true freshman running back. So they kind of ran out of things that they could do to the opposition, and it just all snowballed on them and losing 5 straight to end the season. I don't think this team's going to lose 3 straight at any point this season, and that includes an open to the conference that has Oklahoma State, Oklahoma, and Iowa State all lined up, which is a real challenge for this team. I think this K-State team is going to be pretty good. We'll see how it plays out, but I am very optimistic and excited for the season.
You know, Fitz, a lot of times year 3 ends up being kind of the tone-setting year for a program, especially when you have the chance to kind of outperform expectations, and it could almost be a blessing in disguise. You get picked 7th, you finish 3rd, 4th, something like that happens, and that builds a lot of credibility, not just for this year, not just for next year, but moving forward, knowing that Chris Klieman can do that with some of his teams.
It's interesting you say that, because I see a lot of comparisons between TCU and K-State. TCU is picked, I think, 4th, and I think they're very similar teams. Well, Scott, Kansas has a new coach, a new offense, and a new defense. Is Lance Leipold the man to turn around things in Lawrence?
Well, Fitz, Kansas obviously hopes so, and I think the most promising sign so far to come out of this offseason, and keep in mind this is a guy who was in place after the spring, he didn't get to go through spring ball with his team, is just that Lance Leipold is a different guy, his own dude, kind of compared to the last few coaches that I think at the time you could understand why they were made, but there were elements of those hires that you would almost call like gimmick hires. You know, you think about a guy like David Beatty, who came in hammering Texas high school recruiting over and over so much that at his opening press conference, when he meant to say Kansas at several points, he actually said the word Texas. You think of the Les Miles spectacle, what that was from, you know, eating grass and finding ways to incorporate that on a turf field to, you know, questions about whether he was really all there. At times, was he too involved in some ways? At times, was he not involved enough in other ways? What I think Lance Leipold does, Fitz, I think he walks the line of a happy medium. And when I say that, I mean he's not a micromanager to the extent that he allows his assistants to coach. He allows his play callers to call plays. He allows his defensive coordinator to run the defense, but he's still involved in a lot of the details and kind of the game day preparation and making sure guys are doing things the right way. You know, at times, yes, he will, if you want to use the word meddle, then meddle is the correct word. He'll work with the quarterbacks. He'll have something he sees in the run game and work on it. But you watch him at practice, and what he does, he kind of walks around patrolling things and just kind of yelling out, hey, no, you're not doing that drill the right way. Or, yeah, you screwed up that rep, but you need to run. You need to finish. If this were a play and you get blocked, are you just going to lay there on the field and stop there? I think culture is so important to him. And Fitz, you know it. I know it. Every coach in the world says culture. But he's had kind of a direct way of implementing it. And I think a big part of that, too, was bringing in 6 transfers from Buffalo, guys on the offensive side of the ball, guys on the defensive side of the ball. I think in the end that, you know, they did some player-led practices with actual, like, sessions and timing and all that stuff during the summer. I think that stuff helps put them ahead. Will it allow them to catch up for not having a spring? Probably not. So, long answer, made shorter. I don't know if he's the guy, but he has his own way of doing things, and he's going to get the chance to kind of do things his own way.
Yeah, you addressed this exactly how I feel about this hire. I feel like from the day they moved on from Mark Mangino, every hire has been a reaction to the previous hire. Mm-hmm. But not this one.
Yeah.
They just went out and found the best football coach they could, and they found a pretty darn good one.
Well, Fitz, I'm sure we're going to talk about this topic in the coming weeks, but realignment has been the number one topic in college sports for about the last month or so. So let me ask it to you simply. Do you think the Big 12 is destined to fall apart?
Scott, I really don't. I know that was the reaction of everyone immediately when it went down. Everyone kind of went into panic mode, including people inside of athletic departments and institutions. But I think as we progress down this, we've discovered that the 8 probably have some solidarity and certainly reasons to stick together in the short term over the next 4 years because of the money owed them by the 2 schools that are exiting and ESPN. And also, I think we're going to see them expand here at some point, whether that will be schools coming in sooner rather than later, or maybe towards the end of this grant of rights contract that they have in place through the 24 season. I'm not sure. But I think the Big 12 will be back to 12 schools here in the next few years. And without Oklahoma and Texas, it hurts to lose Oklahoma and Texas for TV ratings, for the quality of the contract you're going to get from institutions like ESPN and ABC and CBS and Fox. But I also think they're gonna find some freedom in the independence of being dislodged from Texas's control. And I'm actually getting more and more optimistic about the future of a Big 12 if a Central Florida and a Cincinnati and some of these schools that have been deprived of the money from Power 5 conferences start getting that. I think the Big 12 is gonna be in pretty good shape, Scott.
Well, Fitz, just to add on to that, I think there are kind of 2 timelines that things have been working on, and I think a lot of people have acknowledged one side or not the other. And the first timeline is of the Big 12 schools. Yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, if you were a Big 12 program and the Big 10 or the Pac-12 came calling and offered what you deemed, you viewed as more security, then sure, you know, maybe you jump onto that, maybe you feel like that's a better route for you. But there's another side of that too, right? Which is the other conferences. And they have to have the motivation to go out and say, we want to add these teams. We want to take these teams. We want to build with an Oklahoma State, with a Kansas, with an Iowa State, all of that stuff. So I think that, at the very least, makes it very complicated. It means it's going to probably get drawn out, probably going to take more time. But I'm with you from this perspective. I can see these teams sticking together a lot more than probably was the case even a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, and if you're following along with conference realignment and Big 12 expansion, if that's a topic in which you're interested, make sure you head over to 24/7 Sports. I know Fogg and Go Powercat are doing some great work on that. Now, a quick look at your poll question. The poll questions are brought to you by Midland Exteriors. Love the home you live in. Call today for a free estimate.
Well, this week's question is, will a Big 12 team make the college football playoff this year? We have a few answers for you, a few options. A, yes, Oklahoma will. B, yes, Iowa State will. C, I think we just included to be nice to the other Big 12 schools. Yes, it'll be another program. Or D, no, no Big 12 program will. Vote on our Twitter page at TheDrive13.
I vote yes. 12 teams. No, hold on. That's not yet. No. I vote no.
Well, hey, that will do it for this half of the two-minute drill, but we will be right back with more on KU and K-State on The Drive.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to The Drive as we continue our weekly two-minute drill. The two-minute drill is sponsored by Vanderbilt's Your Work Boot Center.
Well, Fitz, next Saturday you will be in Arlington for K-State's opener against Stanford. Make sure to check out the baseball stadium there. It's pretty cool. How important is this game for the K-State program?
Scott, again, we're moving on to football. We're trying to get to football season.
Any other sport, Fitz, any other sport.
First of all, I'm excited to go on the road. I haven't been on the road in 3 years, so this is going to be kind of fun. In terms of this football game, I think this is as big a game as the Kansas State football program has faced in at least 5 years, maybe longer. I kind of feel like there was a real investment from fans when the team played in Nashville later in the Bill Snyder years and the team lost to Vanderbilt. And I felt like that was a setback that really set back the fan base in terms of their passion to go to road games and make big road trips and spend a lot of money on these things. The folks are back in the boat right now. Coming off of the pandemic or, you know, what we went through last year, I think K-State's going to have an excess of 30,000 fans there, if not more than that, with closer to 40. And this game's huge for the team in the context of this season to start there. They got to win this. Then they come home for two games in non-conference that they can win against pretty good opponents, really. So I think it's vital to get to 3-0 as they come out of their non-conference schedule and plunge into a Big 12 schedule that's front-loaded for them. But in the bigger scope of things, with everything going on with realignment and expansion, I think it's really important that Kansas State, not just as a football team on the field, but as a fan base, really shows that it's more than what you might measure from a TV market. It's more than what you might imagine for a school that is in the eighth biggest town in a small population state such as Kansas. This is really important to show the college football world that Kansas State isn't defined by some of the things that you normally would think a program is defined by, and that the investment the fan base has in their program is really important and says a lot. And I think that's true of a lot of programs in the Big 12, where really market size or those typical things don't explain how invested their fans are. I'm excited for this game. I think it's really big for K-State football.
Well, Fitz, I will make a point on football this time and just say that first game of each year can be so important, such a tone setter. And obviously we talked about the third season. I think getting off on the right foot would be very big for Kansas State.
Yeah, and having the third season after a pandemic season is just so weird. It almost feels like a second season, but it's the third season. Yeah. It's so strange. Well, Scott, let's talk specifics. Kansas is still in the process of picking a new quarterback. Who do you think will take the field to start that first game?
Well, Fitz, stop me if you – well, don't actually, because you will stop me. But you've heard this before. Kansas doesn't have a quarterback. So, or at least Kansas is trying to find one. The team actually has a few interesting options this year, and that starts with Jason Bean. This is a kid from North Texas who transferred in. He was in kind of a competition there, started games, 19 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. 14 of those touchdowns were passing. So that would probably be the maybe second best quarterback season. You see him on your screen now. The second best quarterback season if it happened at Kansas in a long, long time. Now, he's an explosive playmaker, very athletic. I think there's a lot of promise there about what he can do. But there are a couple other guys on the roster that have made this kind of a more interesting question. And Miles Kendrick, who's now been in the program 4 years after starting at the JUCO level, he's one of the big reasons. Miles Kendrick is a smaller guy. He doesn't have a big arm. He didn't have any offers out of high school other than to be a slot receiver, and he had one offer. It was Kansas out of the JUCO ranks. He's never started a season in college as a starter, Fitz, even his JUCO season, and yet he continues to work and kind of plug away. He's been praised for his leadership. The guys like what he can do on that end. Here you see the limitation, though. That ball should have been picked. It's underthrown. It ends up being a touchdown. So I think they like the off-field. I think they like the intangibles of him. And then the other option is Jalen Daniels. Daniels not quite as mobile as Bean, a little bit more mobile than a guy like Kendrick, but he got valuable starting experience as a 17-year-old freshman. Now, there may have been some questions about availability with him in this preseason camp. We kind of, you know, heard Lance Leipold allude to some of those things, although he didn't give specifics. He really does not like to discuss injuries. A lot of coaches are the same way. To me, this quarterback battle at this point probably comes down to the exceptional playability of a guy like Bean and maybe the more consistency of a guy like Kendrick, the more known of what you know at this moment. But I think what's fascinating is that Lance Leipold has not committed to naming one guy and going with him for the entire year. He said normally he likes to do that, but you know, this is a staff that hadn't seen these quarterbacks throw until the start of fall camp in person, just because of limitations of what you're allowed to do in the summer and that they weren't in place in the spring. So long answer short, I don't think Kansas knows yet. I think this thing goes down to the last day. I think they announce their starter when that guy walks onto the field to take the first snap of the first game. I don't think we'll have an answer before then.
I really feel deja vu right now.
You should. I do every year, Fitz.
But honestly, I mean, if you're not good at quarterback, you're going to have issues. Mm-hmm. So hopefully for KU, someone steps forward. Mm-hmm. And now let's step out of bounds. Out of Bounds is brought to you by Copeland Insurance Agency, part of your community for more than 60 years.
Well, Fitz, Nebraska fell to Illinois 30-22 to kick off the season in week zero. I looked this up. Scott Frost has a $20 million buyout after the season, but do the Cornhuskers just need to get rid of him and start over? What do you think?
Look, we'll get to the picks later in the show, but everyone knows I'm really good at predictions. And I predicted Scott Frost was the man for the job at Nebraska. I mean, the resume was absolutely perfect. It was perfect for a Nebraska head coach, and he stinks. And I watched this game against Illinois, which is in a first-year coach with Brett Bielema, his first game in Champaign, and that team looks infinitely more prepared and better coached. How does that happen, Scott? I don't understand how Scott Frost can be this bad at details. Their special teams were awful. Their quarterback play is still average at best. Yeah, they probably need to move on because they've got off-the-field issues now related to illegal practices. Mm. There's nothing worse than getting NCAA violations when you stink on the field.
Well, anytime you lose a game to Arthur Sitkowski, I think is how you say his name. He was the Rutgers quarterback that Kansas beat 55-14 in a game. When you lose to him in your opener, it is probably time for a change in some regard.
That's not good. Mm-hmm. Now let's hear from the fans. And our fan question is sponsored by Metalark, supporting people in living their best lives. Here's our first fan question of the year. It comes from Kevin, who wants to know about Devin Neal and if he's the real deal. There we go. I was just rapping.
Yeah,
I think that was rap. That was rap.
That was. That's from Dr. Seuss in Lawrence again. No, I do think Devin Neal, four-star running back out of Lawrence High, is the real deal. And I think this is the biggest indicator. Lance Leipold was asked about him for a freshman and said, I'm not evaluating him as a freshman. I'm evaluating him as a player. Is he executing like everyone else? At another press conference, he said, this guy's not only going to play running back, he might play some kick returner this year, which tells you they're trying to get the freshman on the field. So we'll see what he can bring, but highest ranked recruit in Kansas history comes from in the town, you know, just down the road at Lawrence High. I think they're really excited about him.
Thank you for the question, Kevin, about Devin.
Kevin about Devin. Mm-hmm. Well, remember to ask us your questions on our Facebook page and on Twitter at The Drive 13. And when we return, we will look at last year's prediction here on The Drive.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back as we head down the home stretch of this week's show. Now it's time to take a look at our predictions. Remember, make your weekly predictions on our Twitter page at TheDrive13. And it's a new season. It's a fresh start. But let's start by looking back at last year where I put on a display of excellence that has been rarely seen.
A clinic.
You can see Scott had 41 and 32 wrong. I batted 300 for the season. I am the George Brett of the Drive Picks, and I'm proud of it. It was awful. That looks better. I like that so much better. Wiping the slate clean. Here are what we're going to pick in week one. Kansas, minus 14.5 versus South Dakota.
Yeah. Fitz, I saw this line at some places as high as 15.5. It does not make sense to me. I do think Kansas wins, but I see this being much closer than this. I will take South Dakota, and I'd probably take South Dakota if this were a smaller line, too.
I'm going with Kansas. That should scare the heck out of KU fans, but I think Kansas is going to win this and win this convincingly.
Well,
I'm going to run it up.
Next is K-State, minus 2.5 versus Stanford. Fitz, who you got?
I like K-State. I think K-State's going to roll in this one. Stanford also is going through some rebuild. In fact, early lines had Stanford favored, so a lot of money has moved towards K-State.
Well, Fitz, as is our tradition, I will go opposite with you. I know it's a surprise because I just told you I'd take K-State, but I'm going to take Stanford. We'll see what happens.
That didn't surprise me. He just pulled that out of nowhere. Our last game of the week is Texas. Are they in the Big 12? Have they left yet?
We'll have to check. That'll be in a...
Minus 9.5 against the Raging Cajun of Louisiana. And I will take Texas, but I will horns down while doing it.
Yeah. Fitz, Texas is back. Give me the Longhorns. We'll agree on that one.
Wow. Wow, they're going to beat Louisiana. Congratulations, Texas. You're ready for the SEC. Again, make your picks over at our Twitter page, at TheDrive13. Now it's time for our On the Clock segment. On the Clock is sponsored by Carpet One. Buy local for a strong local community. And we start with Mr. Scott Jason of Fog.net.
Well, Fitz, earlier today on Sunday, I found myself watching English Premier League soccer, and I promise I bring this up for a reason. I watched Tottenham win 1-0. The guy who scored the goal, Son, they interviewed him after the game, and they asked him an interesting question about if he rewatches his goals that he scores, and he says he does, and they asked him why, and he said, I play at a soccer stadium where 70,000 fans cheer me on, and then I go home, and I lay down in bed, and I'm alone, and I feel lonely. I miss the fans. I miss that environment. And I just thought, what a beautiful sentiment to kind of apply to the start of this season. Now, obviously, Fitz and I both hope everything is done safely, that people are responsible, that, you know, how fans return to games, maybe it's eased in, maybe it's done in the best ways possible. But I wouldn't underestimate what that environment means to the game, to the fans, and obviously the players, too. I think that's a big deal. So great to have some fans back this year.
It's going to be fun. I tell you what, folks, I talked about realignment earlier in the show, and I just want to share a message. Some of you need to calm down. Your world isn't going to end if your team has to switch conferences. I will say this, if you're a Big 12 fan, the money will never be the same after Texas leaves, but it's going to be okay. And that's it for this week's edition of The Drive. We will see you next week right here and all week on social media.
Rise and shine, football fans. This is Susanna Fuller from Morning Footy, a podcast part of the CBS Sports Galazzo Network covering the breadth of the global game. Join me, Nico Cantor, Charlie Davies, Alexis Guerreros, and guests every morning for the perfect blend of news, analysis, conversation, and exclusive interviews. If you love soccer, then look no further. We've got you covered for Europe's top five leagues, the W Gold Cup, the Champions League knockout stage, CONCACAF Nations League, NWSL, MLS, transfer news, and much more. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found. Subscribe to Morning Footy.